As you can tell, Ben's not here. He texted me this morning and told me to have something ready to go just in case because he woke up not feeling good. And texted about noon and said he wasn't over it yet. He was still feeling a little sick to his stomach. So he didn't want to come and chance being sick and give anything to anybody else. So remember Ben tonight, especially Heather, because she has to take care of him. So what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to shamelessly give a plug for the class I'm teaching. And it's kind of intended to be a little bit of a teaser for kind of what we're going to be going over in that personal evangelism class. And I had talked a little bit previously, one night I think when I was leading singing, I kind of did an additional announcement about it. My intent is for everybody at this congregation to go through this class at some point. Now, we're purposely doing 8 to 10 people in the class at a time so we can keep the numbers small. And one, that helps with COVID and everything right now for spacing out. But also, we want it to be a class where people can talk. And most of y'all know me. I talk a lot. And so the people in the class can tell you they don't have time to get a word in edgewise. But I want it to be a conversation type class where people can give feedback. Here's experiences that I've had and we can all learn from each other. What the class is really intended to be is teaching us how to do a personal Bible study with somebody, how to start forming that bond, how to form that relationship with somebody else. So that's what we're going to go through tonight. And I've not used this thing before. I hope I can. Oh, there we go. All right, so before we really get started, I wanted to show you all this. I know we've all talked about what's been going on in Sparta, at the West Sparta congregation. Fortunately, everything had kind of settled down a little bit. The threats people were putting against the congregation on Facebook, it turns out most everything was just kind of lip service. There didn't seem to be any real substance to us or to it. And so things were starting to die down. Last night, Fox 17 News ran a story about it on their news broadcast. And this was on their website today, a story about it. Had a picture of the letter that was posted on Facebook. And of course, they got a Catholic priest to get on and interview him about it. It's probably going to stir back up again after they did this. So remember the people in Sparta right now. That congregation is going through a hard time. They've actually had to disconnect their phone at the church building because they're getting so many phone calls of people calling about this. So they're having a hard time. Just remember them in your prayers. Hopefully all this will kind of go over quickly. And the thing is, everything they did was scriptural. It's the world doesn't understand and the world doesn't want to understand. If any of you all have questions about it, what exactly was going on, and, okay, is that scriptural? I know Ben did those two lessons about it. Ask me or Ben or any of the elders. We can walk you through exactly what happened and how they did it following the scriptures. So, I wanted to throw that in there, just make you guys aware of it. Keep praying for that congregation. May 7th and 8th, so that's the dates of it, Reed, I couldn't remember a minute ago. We have had this plan for about 2 years now. We had to get this on Rob Whitaker's calendar a couple years ago. Some of you may know Rob. He used to be the preacher at the Willett congregation in Red Bull and Springs. They're from this area, him and his wife Nicole and Hannah and Jared, I think. Is that right? Their kids' names? Yeah. About 2 years ago, I guess, Rob was hired by the Jacksonville Church of Christ down in Alabama. They're the congregation that runs the house-to-house, heart-to-heart mailing. They're the one that puts on Polish in the Pulpit that happens out in Pigeon Forge every year. They hired Rob specifically to start a school of evangelism under the house-to-house umbrella, under that name. Excuse me. And so what Rob does now is he literally travels the country doing seminars at congregations about how to do personal evangelism. So what we're teaching in this class, a lot of it is the material that he teaches. So the ones of you that are in the class right now, some of it you're going to hear the same thing when he gets here. He's going to go much more in depth into it than what I'm going to. But he will be here on May 7th and 8th. That is a Friday and a Saturday. What these are is they sent these to me yesterday, are just some sample graphics for some mailings that they will send mailings out to every congregation that is within an hour of ours. Every congregation of the Lord's Church, letting them know about this seminar. So this is, and one thing they really want to kind of push and make sure people understand, this is not a gospel meeting. This is not intended to be structured like a gospel meeting. This is intended to be a training session that we come and listen and learn how to do the stuff and then take that stuff and apply it to what we want to do studying with other people. All right, so we want everybody to make plans to be here. This is a Friday evening and then Saturday morning. And this is a schedule if you can see it. So we will start. Has this got a little pointer on it? Look at there. 6:30 will be the first session on Friday evening on May 7th. There'll be two sessions that night. Looks like about an hour apiece. Then we'll start again at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. We'll have three sessions. We'll do a meal as part of it. And then at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we split up into a women's session and a men's session. His wife, Nicole, will teach the women's session. All right, so we want everybody to make plans to be here that Friday and Saturday. Okay? Now, with all that being said, and again, these flyers, we will hopefully have these available here within the next couple weeks. We'll start putting them around here. We'll have them sitting out that you all can take and give to other people if you want to, other congregations to invite them. Yes, it's great. We want to invite visitors to come in. But remember, this is intended to be a training session on how to do Bible studies, which means it's really intended for Christians to attend this. So I'm not going to tell you you can't invite somebody who's not a member of the church, but keep in mind it's intended to train Christians of how to do Bible studies. So this is not a gospel meeting kind of setup. Went the wrong direction. Okay, now let's get into what I wanted to talk about tonight. I don't intend to get through all the material that I've got. We'll just get as far as we can. And again, like I said, this is meant to kind of be a teaser or kind of a lead-in to what we are doing in this Bible class. There is a sign-up sheet still out in the foyer for anybody who wants to attend. The original ones who had signed up, there's 8 to 10 of us in the class now. There's already at least 2 more people that have signed up for the next class. As soon as we get done, and the class is going to last about 6 weeks, and that's all it's going to last. It's not going to be a full quarter. As soon as that class gets done, we'll swap the group out and put a new group in there and basically go through the same material again. We'll take another 8 to 10 people. So please sign up on that so I can go ahead and be getting material together. There are books that we're buying for everybody to have that has different charts that you can use in it, different training material that we will give you the supplies you need to do these studies with. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." With that being in the book of Timothy, a lot of times we take this to be an instruction that's given purely to preachers. Because Timothy was a preacher, Paul's talking to him and says, "Hey, Timothy, you need to go out and train other people." And it's sometimes in the church we take this is where we get the authority to have like preacher schools. So a lot of times, like the India mission work that Brother Jack was doing, and Jack's now kind of stepped out of it, retired. I forget the gentleman's name who's kind of taken over it now. One of the things they do over on the Tuni missions in Rappishattavon over in India is building these preacher schools. Well, you get authorization from stuff like this, that you need to train faithful men who can take this and teach it to other people also. But why is this not a command for all of us? Why is this not a command for us as individuals to also learn this same stuff so that we can take it and teach it to other people? I'm going to remember which button I'm supposed to click so I don't go backwards. Proverbs 11:30. "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise." Again, this is not written to preachers. Like many people say, the book of Timothy is written purely to preachers. Not necessarily sure that's completely true. Some of it is. Proverbs is not written purely to preachers. Those who capture souls are wise. That is not near as big as I was really hoping it was going to be. Sorry if you can't see that very good. And I may take a couple drinks of water. I've had a tickle in my throat all day. Look at this chart real quick. What this is these are numbers from the U.S. Census Bureau that was taken from 2009, and then there was a couple more. The last two rows were some additional years that were added on from more recent censuses. It shows the year, the population, that is the United States population. These are the number of people on the census that indicated they were members of the Church of Christ. And then it shows the ratio of Christians to the U.S. population. Look at that chart and let that sink in for just a minute. What are some, and I want you all to talk to me in this. What's something y'all notice in this chart? Yeah. So, when back in 1906, so you're talking, was that 115 years ago now? I think I can do math. There was one Christian to every 535 people in the United States when that census was taken. It cut into less than half in the next 40 years by 1946. So that's good. That means the population of Christians were growing faster than the population in the United States. So that ratio is starting to drop. And it continued to do that. It come pretty close to cutting in half again within the next 7 years by 1953. 1967, over 1% of the U.S. population was Christians. And I know that sounds like a low number, but that's getting to a pretty decent good ratio, the way I look at it. But then notice this trend. It kind of bottomed out there at the 1 to 84, and then it starts going the other direction. Why is that? Look at this. Notice as the U.S. population, as you pointed out, it's constantly growing. The number of Christians in the United States was constantly growing, and then it started dropping. Between 1973 and 1980, the number of people that indicated on the U.S. Census that they were members of the Church of Christ cut in half in a seven-year period, which caused the ratio to go from 1 to 84 to 1 to 183. What happened? Why is it continuing to go the wrong direction? Now, I know a lot of people say today, well, times have changed. Society's different now than it used to be. All right, some of you may be thinking that. I've probably said that before. Well, why is it so hard to evangelize to people today? Well, it's a different mindset in people today than it used to be. All right. I bet maybe everybody still talks about millennials. Millennials are going to ruin the world. Millennials are awful. I'm a millennial, I can say that. So millennials are going to ruin the world. The generation before it, our parents, they don't know what they're doing. Their parents said the same thing about them. And I guarantee the people who were parents back here in 1906 said the same thing about people who were going to be parents around the 1930s, 1940s. They don't know what they're doing. They're going to ruin the world. All this fancy gadgets and gizmos they want to have. Every generation is going to say that same thing. And I promise you the millennials are going to say the same thing about all their kids. I say it about my kids. But you know what? They can play on gadgets a whole lot better than I can. All right? And I promise my kids, I guess they're Gen Z now, they're going to say the same thing about their kids. They don't know. We had it all figured out. They're going to ruin everything. I'm not sure we can say it's because society is changing. I'm not sure we can say it's because life is too difficult right now. Look at everything going on in the world. We're dealing with all this political mess. We have abortion stuff popping up that we're constantly having to deal with. We have the homosexuality agenda, the LGBTQ agenda that's pushing. There's so much other things that we're dealing with now that they never had to deal with. What happened back around these years? Somebody tell me. Huh? Well, they took prayer out of school, but just think globally. What happened? There's wars. There's some pretty big wars that happened around in there. Yeah, we may have conflicts going on in the world right now. We don't have a world war that we're dealing with. And there may be people, we're going to go to war. They've been saying that since I was a kid. We're going to have World War III. Okay? Maybe we will someday. I have no idea. But they dealt with that back here. Look what happened to the population of the church during that time. The church continued to grow. The people back then were dealing with some major difficulties. What happened in the mid-1930s? Right in here? This Great Depression happened? You got people standing in soup lines trying to figure out where they're going to get food at, not knowing if they're going to be able to feed their kids that night. I mean, people in the United States, it's not third world country stuff. It happened in the United States. And during all that, the population of the church grew significantly. So people all throughout the history of the United States have dealt with a lot of stuff. But we've seen growth in the church. But something happened right in here in the 70s You started to see a turn in that trend. And unfortunately, that trend is still going the wrong direction. You may say, yeah, look, Jonathan, from 2015 to 2017, it only dropped, what, 52,000? 51,000 and some change? That's numbers that big, that's close to staying the same. But look at the ratio. The population of the United States is growing faster than that. Something's going on. Here's what I would propose that we have an issue with. We don't know how to teach people about Jesus anymore. When you think back to old days, and you think, what's old TV shows that everybody likes to watch? The old black and white TV shows. There's one favorite. Everybody loves it. Andy Griffith. All right? Andy Griffith. But even back further than that, you've got Leave It to Beaver. You've got all this stuff. But what are some things about those shows that seem to be very different from shows you have today? You have a wholesome family unit, right? They were clean shows, but you had a lot of family sitting around tables together that would share things together. And I honestly think one of the things that we have lost, even within the church, is the ability to sit around a table with somebody anymore. Everything is so hustle, bustle, go fast, fast. We got to get as fast as we can. I mean, I went to Starbucks today. Of course, I did a mobile order, so I didn't have to wait in line at the drive-thru. And so I did my mobile order, went over there, got inside to pick it up. And I hated I had to stand there for 3 or 4 minutes for them to finish it because there were some other people in front of me in line. And they have a monitor up on the wall that's telling them how fast or how slow they're going and are they meeting their ratios to get people in and out of there as fast as they can. Everything we do today is on a clock. We don't take time to sit down and get to know people anymore, it seems. We don't take the time to form those bonds and those relationships. That kind of stuff happened back here. Yes. It has been. That we've allowed TV, we've allowed society, I guess, to teach our children more than we're teaching them. But even to that point, what may have led into that is what you're seeing on TV, we seem to think, well, that's normal life. And so I try to reflect my life after that. How many shows on TV do you see the family sitting down together anymore? Do you see people truly forming bonds with each other, slowing down a little bit? All those shows are go, 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 as fast as you can go. So we try to mimic our lives after that. We don't have those close relationships anymore that people used to have. So what are we doing about it? What is Willow doing to change that trend here? Because the thing about it is, if we don't change that trend, that ratio is going to continue to get wider. All right, what did I say? One out of 289, so one Christian out of every 289 people in the United States. That ratio is going to keep getting worse from the church's standpoint if we don't do something about it. Now, yes, we can do something in effect here. And we tend to think, well, we're evangelizing throughout the world. We're sending people over in mission fields and we're doing this in third world countries where people don't have the resources. That's great. It needs to be done. These numbers are in the United States. We forget we have a mission field right here. We have one here in Cookeville. All right? Now, sometimes we may not notice it as much because we live in the Bible Belt, right? If you go out in town, a majority, and it's getting to get away from that a little bit, but a majority of the people you're going to run into in Cookeville, in Sparta, in Monterey, in Baxter, in Allgood, in Silver Point, all the areas around here, most of them grew up with some kind of belief in God and the Bible. All right, or at least some kind of an exposure to it. Maybe they don't go to church now, but a good majority of the population in this area still attend services maybe once a week or once a month or something. It's not like you're going to run into somebody who's never even heard of God around here. I mean, just right outside our building, what direction is it from here? That way. There's a giant cross on a hill. I mean, that gives a little bit of a reflection for the area we live in. But remember, these are numbers that are people that are members of the Lord's church. Okay? Not only are we in the Bible Belt, I sometimes think we're almost like in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. I mean, Nashville seems to kind of be that hub. And that's why you have the schools like David Lipscomb and Freed Hardeman and things like that seem to be centered around the Nashville area. Texas has really started to gain foothold within the Lord's church. And so you see a lot of that stuff down there, Abilene, in different areas. But either way, the numbers are still going the wrong direction. So if we don't do something about it, it's going to keep getting worse. So what are we doing about it? One of the things that the elders had asked me to work on, I don't know, 2 years ago maybe, is start focusing on some personal evangelism stuff. That's where this class grew out of. All right, that's where we got Rob coming to do this seminar for us. There's some other things that we're working on doing right now, and I want to make sure that all of you are aware of what these are. We are working right now on getting a resource table that we're going to sit out here in the foyer. All right, I've got Cecily Lusk helping me on some design work on it, some graphic design. You see how plain and boring my slides are? If I design the stuff, that's what everything would look like. Okay, Cecily does some graphic design stuff. She's helping me put a few things together. But we're going to have a table out here that's going to be branded with some personal evangelism stuff. We're going to have resources sitting on there for you all, the membership here, to be able to get your hands on it anytime you need it. If you know of somebody that you want to go talk to, grab something off that table and take it. All right? We have Bibles that we've bought. Well, I've got about 300 Bibles that we have bought that are purely for you to take and hand to somebody. Just give them. Give them to somebody if they need it. The Bible is printed by World Bible School. All right? Members of the church, there's about 100 pages in the back of that Bible that is study material. That means there's study material that is written by members of the church. It talks about salvation, and we know everything that's in it is scripturally correct. It's great material for you to hand to somebody. We have all kinds of tracts and stuff out here on the walls. We're going to focus a lot of that stuff around that table so that you kind of have a one-stop shop of where to go to get all that. Another thing we did, and we've mentioned this a couple times, I don't know how many of you have actually gone and looked at this website yet, this CookvilleBibleStudy.com. We purposely named it something very, very simple. It's something that's easy to remember, all right? And I will tell you, the Crossville Church of Christ heard that we were doing this. They've already mimicked it, which is great. We gave them all the resources to do it. The guy who built our website for us turned around and built it for them. There's a Crossville Church of Christ, or a Crossville Bible Study right now. If you go to CrossvilleBibleStudy.com, you're going to see the exact same website, with the only difference is it says Crossville right there instead of Cookville. All right? If you go to this website, anybody in the world can go to it, CookvilleBibleStudy.com. If you, there's only two things you can do on here. Click one of those two boxes. That's it. All right? Notice there's something missing from this page. We don't have our church's name on here. And some of you may think, well, you ought to do that. You're kind of fooling people. No. We just want to have a Bible study with somebody. And unfortunately, because we are in a community that has churches on every single corner, they're going to see the name Church of Christ and immediately leave and go somewhere else. We don't want somebody to leave just because they see our congregation's name on there. That's why we named it Cookville Bible Study. If they click this link right here, it says, I want an in-person Bible study, it's going to pop up. It'll expand that little box down. They put their name, email, and phone number in there. And then they do this little thing saying, I'm not a robot. That's it. And when they click submit, it's going to send us an email. We have an email address set up that these go to that will give us that person's name, phone number, and email address. That's it. We have a team here at Willow that's already set up. There's 6-7 people on the team, I think. It's the same group that we have for the card ministry, the visitation program. There's a group that's set up that does personal Bible studies with people already. As soon as we get an email from one of these, we're literally going to go and hand that to that team. It says, we have somebody in our community that wants to study the Bible. There's their email address and phone number. Get a hold of them. Let's set up a Bible study with them. What if they don't want to click on that box, but instead, they have an option to do an online Bible study? The online Bible study is self-paced. They can go at their own speed through it. They can dig into it as much as they want. They can do a lesson a day. They can do a lesson a month, whatever they want to do. It all runs through World Bible School's website. So the same World Bible School that we get these tracts in, I know Tracy does some of the grading. There's a couple others here that do grading of some of the booklets that come in still. It's the same group. It's the same lessons. It's just all digital. It's all online. So if somebody clicks that link, there's the website they're going to get to. It's World Bible School's website for them to sign up to do it. Now here's the interesting thing about it. The way World Bible School sets their online program up, you still have a teacher. You still have a person you interact with. They call them your study helper. If somebody just goes to World Bible School's website in general and signs up to do online, you may get a teacher out of California, you may get a teacher out of New York. They're all members of the church, but it's just going to be somebody randomly will get assigned to you to do it. If they click on our link and go to it, I don't know if you can see it up here, but in the web address, it's worldbibleschool.org. Then after the forward slash, it's Ken Payne, reference 3444. You don't have to remember that. All they got to do is click the link on the website. It'll take them there automatically. But what that means is this little campaign reference, that campaign reference is Willow Avenue Church of Christ, which means if they go through that link and they sign up to go through World Bible School, it's online stuff, the study helper they're going to get assigned comes from this congregation. And we've got about six or seven of us set up on the website already as study helpers. All right? All you got to do is get somebody to the website. If you don't feel comfortable sitting down and having that one-on-one Bible study with them, you know what we have? Everybody seen those little business cards sitting out there? That's what they're for. I carry about three or four of them in my pocket every day. It's a little business card. Literally says Cookeville Bible Study. It has that little logo on it and the web address. The back of the card says, request an in-person Bible study or study online at your own pace. Christians in the Cookeville area will be ready to answer any questions you may have. That's all it says on it. You can take that and hand that to somebody. It gets them to this website and ultimately sets up a Bible study that somebody here in this congregation can have. All right, and you don't have to be the one to sit down and study with them. If you're just, it makes you nervous, you get anxiety doing it, it's a resource we have. Everybody in here has homework tonight. I told you I was going to give homework. You heard Ben wasn't here and everybody got all excited. No, I'm going to give you homework. Everybody get one of those cards. I know when we first got them, I had announced that we had them and I said, hey, take a couple, don't take them all because we only had like 750. We have 5,000 of them now. We've ordered a lot more. Grab you a handful of cards. Everybody's homework before next Wednesday, hand one of those out. All right? I go to Brost all the time too. If you don't notice, I go to a coffee shop somewhere in town almost every day after lunch. It's a bad habit I've got into. But I'll go grab coffee at Brost, kind of over diagonal from Dairy Queen here in town. They've got a little table right up against the window, and there's people that have business cards sitting there all the time. If you go in there, there's a stack of these business cards sitting there. Because every time I go in, if they've run out, I'll grab a stack out of my pocket and put back on there. I don't ask them if I can. I mean, they may be grabbing them and throwing them away. I don't know. Or somebody else in there buying coffee may see it. I'm like, hey, that's interesting, and grab it and stick it in their pocket. All right, I've mailed payments on invoices to local people here in town, do like pest control for me or do whatever else. When I mail my payment to them, I'll drop one of those cards in the envelope with it. Again, they may throw it away. I have no idea. Or they may go to a website and start a Bible study. When I pay at a restaurant and I leave my tip, sign the bill, put what my tip is, sign it, leave one of the cards laying on the receipt. There's all kinds of ways you can hand these things out. And again, whoever's busting the table, they may literally grab that and throw it with the napkins and everything else straight in the trash. You have no idea. Or they may look at it and be like, you know what? I need to study the Bible more. And they stick it in their pocket. And they take it home. In a month or so, they may get on the website and start a Bible study. So we've got resources out there available. We want everybody here to start using them. So again, there's cards sitting out there right now. I don't want to see any of those cards when I leave tonight because that means every one of you all are taking cards with you. All right? And I've got a ton more to replenish them, so don't feel bad if you take the last one. All right? We'll refill the stock. All right, so here's a question. I want some answers to this. What roles are we typically teaching our children that we're trying to train our children to be ready to do for the church when they get older? What about boys? What do we tell our young men when we're teaching them in classes? Hey, we want you to be prepared to do what when you get older? Preach. We want you to be a preacher. You need to learn so you can be a preacher someday. What else? Lead services. We want you to be a song leader someday. We want you to grow up so you can be a deacon. We want you to grow up so you can be an elder. That's fantastic. All those things are great. And we need that stuff in the church. We need good, sound young men who can grow up to do those things. But do we push that so much that we make some young men feel that if they're not going into that, they've somehow failed? Not everybody's meant to be a preacher. Not everybody's going to be an elder. Not everybody's going to get up and lead singing and lead services or even do announcements, do whatever. Some people literally, it causes some massive anxiety problems to get up in front of people. So it's not always going to happen. What are some things for our young ladies that we try to teach them? We want you to grow up to do what? To teach. We need Bible class teachers, right? We want you to be an elder's wife, or we want you to do this, or we want you to do that. Do we ever teach our children that we want them to grow up to be a soul winner? We want you to grow up in a way that you can teach someone else about the Bible. Teach somebody else about Jesus. Do we make that enough of an emphasis for our children? Because I'm telling you, if we don't have that growing up, those numbers we showed, those ratios from the Census Bureau, it's going to get worse. The population of the Lord's church is going to keep getting smaller as the U.S. population keeps getting bigger. We have to train ourselves, and really for us to train our children, we have to convince ourselves of the same thing, that every person that we see, every person we interact with, every person we maybe go to school with, that we work with, that we see at Walmart, we don't see them as a person that I need to get around or somebody that's going to do something for me. We need to see that person as a soul. Every single person you run into is a soul. All right? God did not create bodies and then put a soul into them. God created souls and then encased them in a body. When you see that person, you're seeing a soul. Every single person that you see, that you interact with, is going to stand at judgment someday. Every one of them. Nobody is going to get past that. And until we train ourselves to look at society that way, to look at every single person we interact with that way, the person that cuts you off driving home tonight, what's your reaction going to be? Somebody swerves over in the lane in front of you and you have to slam your brakes. What's your reaction to that person going to be? Is your reaction different if you see that person as a soul that's going to stand before Jesus someday? Because that may be a person that you hope to set a Bible study up with. And depending on how you react to that person may have a huge impact of whether or not that person ever steps foot in the Lord's church. Every interaction you have could have an impact on somebody's eternity. And until we start looking at people that way, then that ratio that we were looking at is not going to improve. That's what we have to teach to our children. We need soul winners in the Lord's church. We need people who are going to go out and grow the Lord's church. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. You don't have to be an elder or an elder's wife. You don't have to be a deacon or a deacon's wife. You don't necessarily have to be a Bible class teacher. You don't have to participate in leading services. What you have to do is you have to be a Christian that cares for the souls of others. Anybody can do that. You never get too old to do that. You don't retire from this. This is something we do to the grave. All right? We need to teach ourselves to look at the world that way, and then eventually our children will start doing the same thing. This is something else we all need to get ingrained in our minds. Christianity is a taught religion. You're not born into Christianity. You don't inherit Christianity because of your lineage. All right? The children of Israel, they did that. That was their lineage. They were born into God's people. Christianity is not that way. You have to teach Christianity to somebody. All right? What does that mean for us then? If we're Christians, how is somebody else going to know it unless we go teach it to them? All right? They're not just going to magically get it. They're not just going to go stand before Jesus someday and, oh, well, you get to get in because so-and-so is your dad or so-and-so is your grandma or your grandpa or something like that. Christianity is a taught religion. And who's going to be the one to teach it? Us. All of us. We all have that responsibility. What are some things that we're doing? And this is another one. I want feedback. What are some things that we're doing here today at Willow? Outside the website and all that I talked about. Some programs we have, some things that we do here where we try to reach out to the community. I am the master of awkward silence. So I'll stand here until somebody says something. Benevolence. What kind of stuff are we doing for benevolence? Yeah, we have the furniture ministry. All right? Willow Meals. That's a huge one. We put a lot of resources into Willow Meals. Well, let's just take those two. So those are two good ones. The furniture ministry that we have down here and Willow Meals. Every time we take a meal to somebody on Willow Meals, what is our mindset when we're going to that person? Is our mindset, oh, well, there's somebody that's hungry and they need some food, so we're going to go give it to them. That's great. That needs to be done. It's commanded in Scripture. But do we see that person as a soul? Do we see that person as somebody that we need to form a bond with? Because once we have that bond formed with them, once we have that relationship built with them, we now have the door open to be able to potentially have a Bible study with that person. Same thing with the furniture ministry. Are we going to have people that are going to abuse those systems? Denny, do you have people that come and abuse it sometimes? Absolutely. Anytime you have benevolence anywhere, you go ask any church in the world, and I'll use the word church loosely there, anywhere that has a cross on a steeple, go ask them if people try to abuse their benevolence programs. Absolutely, it happens. You know what? Are we looking at that person as a burden to us that's costing us money out of our treasury? Or are we looking at that person that's literally coming to us for something? And we have an opportunity to fill a need that somebody has, and we see that person now as a soul who needs Jesus. If we're not seeing things that way, it doesn't matter what program we have here. The furniture ministry won't mean anything unless we're looking at it that way. Willow Meals won't really mean anything unless we're looking at the people we're delivering the meals to that way. Because then what are we ultimately accomplishing? Everything that we've ever started here at Willow, and I bet you can ask the elders this, any program, when Willow Meals first got started, I promise you in the discussion, I may not have been born at the time. I don't know how old Willow Meals is. But I can promise you in the discussion the elders had to have that, it was back to how can this help us reach somebody for Jesus? We can't lose focus of that in everything we do. Every Bible class we're back here teaching, we have little souls sitting here listening to us talk to them about the Bible. This website we built, it's with the intent of reaching souls in our local community. These business cards we've got to hand out, the Bibles that we've bought that you all can take and hand to people, everything is with the intent of increasing souls in the Lord's kingdom. Always look at someone as being a soul. Then he said to his disciples, Matthew 9, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. What that's going back to is teaching, the harvest is plentiful. But, I mean, you've got farmers in this area. A lot of you may farm, right? It's kind of becoming a lost art, a lost trade now, especially in this area, in Cookeville. You get outside Cookeville and some of the outlying communities, it's still prevalent in a lot of places. But when you have a harvest, what do you need in order to get that harvest in? You need people. You need workers, right? Jesus is telling his disciples, the harvest is ready. It's in the field, sitting there ready for people to come and gather the stuff in. But the laborers are few. They don't have enough people to go in and gather that harvest. We need people to gather the harvest. What this is a reference back to is we have souls out here in this world. There's a harvest sitting out there waiting for us. We walk outside these doors. Remember, our Christianity is not about sitting in this building. Sitting in this building is worshiping God. That's what we're here to do during worship, is to worship our Creator. We don't necessarily come to this building to evangelize to the lost. If there's lost sitting in here, that's great. Yes, we're going to teach them. That happens when we walk out that door. That's the harvest, is when we go out there. We need laborers. That doesn't mean we need more preachers in the pulpit. We need every one of us to get involved, that when we walk out that door, we see souls that are ready to be harvested for the Lord. Like I told you, I wasn't going to get through all this. I got through about half of it. So that's kind of a little bit of a sneak peek into what we're going to be teaching in this class. All right? That's kind of the first lesson, is kind of a motivation kind of lesson. All right? And hopefully that's what this was intended to be tonight, is to get us to start thinking differently about the way we interact with others and what evangelizing to someone really means. The other things that we do in the class, and we're getting ready to start that, we were going to start it tonight, but we'll start it next Wednesday in the class, is we have little resources. There's a Back to the Bible set of tracks, and I have about 450 sets of these ready for you all to use with anybody you need to. Is we walk through these Back to the Bible tracks. that walks you step by step how to have a Bible study. It's almost like Bible journaling. I know it's got popular among ladies right now where you mark in your Bible and it tells you where to go to next, and then after this verse you go over to this verse and look at it. These do that. It tells you what to do, how to study with somebody. It talks about where you get authority from, it talks about the church, and it talks about salvation. We are going to walk step by step through each of those books in that class and teach you how to do a sit-down, one-on-one Bible study with somebody. Let's pray real quick and we'll be dismissed.